Welcome to Opus Here. My name is Greg Horn, and I'm excited these next two programs. Our guest, Lee Faust, he is the lead pastor at Jessamine Christian Church in Nicholasville, Kentucky. And he was actually in Virginia where he came back last year to become the lead pastor at Jessamine Christian. And we're going to be talking about men and the church and just trying to help guys grow in their faith. But Lee, it was kind of easy for you to find the radio station because you didn't grow up too far from here, did you?
No, I'm a Woodford County boy, born and bred, I tell people, and was really blessed growing up here in Versailles. And I always asked my wife, you know, honey, you think we'll ever come home? And so we've made it, and we're glad to be back in the promised land.
Well, I know that you've been able to attend a few UK football and basketball games since you've been back, so glad that you get to enjoy some of the promised land here that we have in Kentucky. But, Lee, I know we had breakfast a few months ago, and one of the passions in your life is you just want more men to know how much God loves them and has a plan for their one and only lives and to get them engaged in a personal relationship with God. And I know that you were fortunate to have some godly examples of men in your life growing up around here in the Woodford County area. Can you share some of those?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, to answer that question, let me back up and start by just identifying, really, I feel like my highest calling, in fact, everyone who wears the name Christian or follower of Christ shares with me the high calling of not being just a disciple of Christ, not called to make disciples, but we're called to be and to make disciple makers. And there is a really big difference that most men, most Christians don't really get. You know, if I become a disciple of Christ, I can do that and I'm done. And a lot of Christians, that's kind of where they are. They became Christians and they're done. If I answer the call to make a disciple, then maybe I dunk my kids and make sure they get baptized and they're all square with the Lord, and I feel really good about that. And I think a lot of Christians are probably there as well. But if I answer the call to make disciple makers, this really speaks to the idea of reproduction and multiplication. And now we're talking about third and fourth generations of Christ followers, and that's really a big deal. So all of that, to go back and answer your question, you know, about people in my life, godly men and women who really modeled and mentored an act of faith, a lifestyle of Christianity is the language I like to use. But since I was a young man growing up here in Versailles and at Woodford Christian Church, I had my very first youth sponsor. I'll never forget. His name is Doug Cox. He was just a volunteer in the church, but he called us a bunch of snot-nosed boogerheads. But we were junior high kids, and that's probably exactly what we were.
It was probably applicable, wasn't it?
There's a special place in heaven for junior high youth sponsors, you know. And he drug us all over the Red River Gorge and took us camping and just really invested in a bunch of us junior high boys. And so he really stands out in my life. And my first youth minister, Dave and Sheree Empson, they introduced us to the idea of Christian music and Striper and all those big bands back in the day when Christian music really kind of rolled out. And then my next youth minister, this is actually how I got into ministry. I found out they paid him to do what he did. His name was Mike Rohatch, and he really was just full of life and joy and just a great, great man. And I thought, man, if I could get paid to do that, sign me up. And that's literally how I got into ministry. And then Gary Blackwell, he baptized me when I was 10. He ordained me into ministry. And then I was lucky enough, my beautiful bride, Johnny Campbell Faust, her father is a pastor, taught in northern Kentucky for over 40 years. And so people like that, Mike Bro, Brewster McLeod, those were my cabin dads, you know, at Bluegrass Christian Camp. And then Wayne Smith, if you live in this area, everybody has to know Wayne. He actually called my daddy out of the marketplace. He was working in the business world, and he kept tapping my dad on the shoulder to cover for him and preach at some of these little churches out in the country. Mike, I can't get there. You know, will you go preach for me? And finally, my dad said, you know, Wayne, I can't do both. And so Wayne said, there's a simple solution. And he ordained my dad. And mid-career, midlife, my dad entered into the ministry. And so these are the type of people. Even my own son, Benjamin, is a pastor now. And I call it reverse mentoring. He's younger than I am, obviously, but he has a lot I can learn from. And so these are important men and people that really shaped my view of Christianity and how I live my faith from that.
Well, I think it's so huge. You mentioned, you know, the Doug Cox, who is a lay leader at your church. And, you know, I know there's people listening that think, you know, am I making any difference with my one and only life? And I want to say to you, the specialist volunteers and youth ministry, you are making a difference, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, man, no doubt about it.
Encourage you to keep on keeping on. So that was a word of encouragement for somebody listening today. But, you know, we talk about men and their faith, and, you know, God's got a grander vision than we are willing to settle for sometimes. And I know that we both like John Eldridge, and I know that there's a quote of his that you really like, Lee.
Yeah, I just kind of stumbled across it. It's actually in the flap of his book. It's an old book entitled Wild at Heart. And in the flap of that book, I learned he was quoting C.S. Lewis. But C.S. Lewis said, "We castrate and bid the gelding be fruitful." And as a good old Kentucky boy, I understand that. And for our listeners out there today, if you think about it a little bit, you can appreciate, "We cast and bid the gelding be fruitful." And you know, so many times I think we have expectation of men and their roles to be a husband or a father or a good friend in light of their Christian faith. And then we look around the church and we wonder, like, where are the men? The men are missing from the church. Where are those men to be the mentors and the model for other younger men? And to really live that lifestyle of Christianity that I was talking about a few moments ago. And I think, unfortunately, that there are a lot of men who maybe grew up in the church and they've disappeared because they hate going to church. In fact, I think I was sharing with you that particular book, Why Men Hate Going to Church, by David Murrow. And the old quote is, the church is perfectly designed to give the results that you're getting. And the more I study churches, and the more I've come to believe that the modern church system is really not engineered to reach men. It's a struggle. I've worked with a lot of coaches. I was a chaplain for a varsity football team for almost 10 years. I was a volunteer fireman and then became a chaplain and worked with their critical incident stress management. And there's just a lot of men out there who are kind of almost anti-religious and not interested in the church. And so when we look at the church and we think, well, where are these guys? We need them. The truth is, the church is not designed to reach men like it ought to be. And I'll just give you just a few ideas about that from his book, Why Men Hate Church. You know, a lot of times we think in the church, and I've heard it for the last 28 years of ministry, if we just have a strong kids program or children's ministry, we get the kids in here, they're the future of the church. And so we do that, and we work really hard to have great children's programs, and we should. If we can have a strong youth program and get our teenagers, you know, they're the future of the church, we say, and there's a lot of great youth programs out there. And in fact, there's a lot of strong women's ministry programs out there. But you think about and look at the church and their men's ministry, it's many times been relegated to, once a month breakfast club, or they set up the chairs and tables for some type of events. Like, where are these guys? And so, you know, I thought that was kind of an aha moment for me when I read that book, Why Men Hate Going to Church. Because if you get kids, they'll come with mom for a while, and eventually they say, "Mom, if dad doesn't have to go, why do I have to go?" And then the kids disappear. Or if you get the teenagers, you get them for a while, but then they get cars and girlfriends and jobs. It's like, where did the teens go? And then you just have mom coming to church by herself, and she'll come to me as a pastor and say, "Boy, Lee, I wish my husband would come, and I'm praying for my husband." And so, you know, we have a strong women's ministry, but kids disappear, teens disappear. But the premise of the book, Why Men Hate Going to Church, is really interesting, because statistically we have found if we can get the man, if the man is actively engaged in his faith and coming to church, then we actually get the whole family. And we actually need to rethink how we do church. And while we should have strong children's and youth programs and women's ministry, we need to invest much more heavily in our men's ministry, because if we get dad, the mom comes and the kids come. And statistically, they would say that those kids will be lifelong followers of Christ. Because dad has modeled and mentored for the whole family. And I think that's really key and significant to how we do ministry and consider ministry in the church.
Well, and one of the things I know that I've heard you say before, Lee, and I totally echo this thought, is that there's a big difference between religion and relationship, isn't there?
Oh, really there is. A book written back in the 70s, when I was a young man in ministry, I was a youth minister at the time, and I read a book. It was entitled How to Be a Christian Without Being Religious. And that really spoke to me. My twin brother, Lynn, and a lot of my buddies growing up, and these men at the fire department and football coaches, they were so turned off by the church, and they would always talk about the hypocrisy of the church. And that book, the premise of the book was that religion is man's effort to reach God. That if I go to church, and if I dress the right way, and I act the right way, and if I do all the right things, then surely God's going to notice and let me into heaven. That's the idea of religion. But the premise, how to be a Christian without being religious, was the idea that God loved us so much that he gave us Christ, sent Jesus to earth to model for us how we should live our lives. And so while I can be a little bit anti-religious at times, you know, I'm kind of anti some of those rules and regulations and all the dress codes and all the things that we've kind of imposed on the church and on men, boy, I love the idea of a lifestyle of Christianity and what Jesus has done for us. In the Gospel of John, if you've not read your Bible in a while, the Gospel of John is where you ought to start. And in the very first chapter of John, it talks to the idea that Jesus has moved into the neighborhood, or another translation in John, it says he pitched his tent and lived among us. And man, I love that about who God is. He loved us so much that he wanted to come and invest in us and have a relationship with us, so much that he pitched his tent. He moved in among us. And so I would like to encourage any man out there listening, if you've been turned off by church and you're anti-religion, that's okay. I am too, a little bit. But I would encourage you to continue to look for and find a good church home that's going to allow you to kind of live out your faith in the messiness of life, that what I call that lifestyle of Christianity, and find some good men to put in your life and to spend time with those men.
Well, I want to encourage those people that are listening, maybe guys that are listening or women that have been praying to their husbands. My dad didn't become a Christian until he was 50, and yet he was totally transformed the last 24 years of his life. And so keep inviting those men to church, the man of your life. Guys, invite your dad, invite your brothers, your friends, because once you put them in that place to hear God's message, I mean, he can ambush them in ways we can never imagine, can he, Lee?
Absolutely, yeah. I love to see that. You know, the scripture says that we should take a good hard look at Jesus, because he is the centerpiece of everything we believe. And so I want to encourage the men out there listening, take a good hard look and think it through, because Jesus really is the main thing.
Well, we've got another program to do with Lee. We're talking with Lee Faust. He is the lead pastor at Jessamyn Christian Church in Nicholasville, Kentucky. If you're looking for a church home, they've got two services on Sunday morning. To check them out. But we're going to be talking about a great opportunity for guys. It's going to be at the Red River Gorge on the weekend of March 12th through 15th. It's called the Extreme Character Challenge. So I hope you'll tune in tomorrow and invite somebody also to listen as I continue my conversation with Lee Faust on Hope Is Here. Guys, are you looking for a new adventure? I want to invite you to attend the Extreme Character Challenge on March 12th through 15th at Red River Gorge. The Extreme Character Challenge tests a man's character, builds true friendship, and ignites your faith. Men return home as new husbands, fathers, friends, and brothers. For more information about the Extreme Character Challenge at Red River Gorge on March 12th through 15th, go online at 4MUSA.com. That's the number 4USA.com.